You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Warriors got beat by 20 last night.
You did.
You know, the thing that was, they didn't even make a run.
But I kept waiting, like, here it comes. They got it to 12. And you got to give Roracle some love. It was loud. They got to 12. You would have thought they were up 10.
I thought it
they
got loud then, too.
Yeah, I said,
it got
loud. Here we go. The Raptors will crumble. Lowry for three.
Yeah, they got...
I'm shocked, man.
And this happens a lot. Not a lot, but when the Warriors lose, it happens a lot. You look at the other box score.
All right.
Danny Green played well.
Hey,
Siakam
improved.
Played well. Ibaka played well. Lowry played well. Van Vliet, solid. Valanciunas, for 8 minutes, was fine.
8 minutes.
Greg Monroe gave him something. Now you look at the Warriors. Durant was great. Draymond wasn't. Looney wasn't. Klay was not great. Steph was probably at his worst game of the year. So,
Quinn Cook at 13.
Yeah, meaningless. Absolutely meaningless.
Would you say that to him? Would you say that to him? Hey, Quinn, you just had meaningful.
Of course.
13 didn't mean.
I'd say maybe not meaningless. I probably would use the word hollow. Hollow.
See, they brought him in early. They needed energy.
I asked David Lee about his hollow numbers in New York. He didn't like that when he got traded here.
Oh, Lee.
But, yeah. Let's go to David in San Jose. Hey, David.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Doing well, man.
Good, good. Hey, well, first, I just want to say about Draymond. What he does is very few in the NBA. I don't think you can just give him up or trade him.
Right.
Because there's nobody that you're going to find that does what he does. You can find, I don't want to say you can find another Klay Thompson, don't get me wrong, but you can find somebody that can shoot the three very well on a given night. But you can't find what somebody does, what Draymond does. Back to the reason I called.
Not to that level.
Big Laker fan. Mm-hmm. I've watched the Lakers early 2000s. This Warriors team is a lot reminding me of the Lakers. Not just that, the competition is reminding me of the competition that the Lakers face, like the Pistons and stuff. People have their switch on, and they're ready to go, and they're ready to play. And I think the Warriors think they have this switch where they can turn it on when they want, just like the Lakers did. And I think they're just not tuned in and mentally engaged like the other teams. And it might be their downfall, to be honest with you. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
A lot of psychoanalysis on if you're ready to. I mean, it's basketball at the end of the day, right, Stoney?
I'm with Gianna. I don't think it's possible for fans to understand this is the fifth year in a row they're going after it. And it's December. And I think they're going to have games like this.
Remember it
just
last
gets,
year?
Yeah, it just gets harder and harder and harder. Here's the other thing that I kind of disagree with. I don't think they flipped the switch last year. I mean, they got taken to seven games by the Rockets. So I don't know that they flipped the switch, but they were able to play well enough to get it done. The 9-2-5. The major element that is missing from the Dubs offense is Steph penetrating the lane on a constant basis. Steph getting to the hoop is a super overlooked portion of the Dubs offense. Now, he was getting picked up three quarters court last night by Van Vliet.
And that was part of the plan.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I mean, he was filling in for Kawhi.
They have to, they're trying to wear Curry out, no doubt about it. We saw that last year, was it with Houston?
So does Sack look at this film and say, this is how we're going to try to go with Steph? Like the Cavs did in the 16 finals when they were 15-16 when they won, they were being rough with them. We talked about you can't do that anymore, but damn it, I saw Toronto kind of do it. They were making his path rough, Steiny, and he had to give up the ball at times.
I don't think Sack can do that. Sack's one of the worst defensive teams in the league. What'd they win the other night? 140, 130 or something?
They're the best three-point shooting team in the league. Wow. Tomorrow night!
Mike in Fremont. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Sonny? I was calling in to just talk about Klay. I really think that Klay is just taking way too many shots. KD is probably the most efficient scorer in the league. And he just needs to take more shots. I don't understand why Klay is just putting up shots before he's even getting the ball. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought about maybe having like a pecking order with Steph and KD taking the majority of the shots.
That's it's funny you said that because I used that term yesterday. Coming into yesterday's game, Clay, Durant, and Steph were all averaging the exact same amount of shots per game, 19.7. 19.7 shots.
You like that formula?
Not for most teams. I don't mind it with the Warriors, but I don't like it at all for most teams. Because I think most teams have a clear-cut number one guy.
And it should be Steph. Okay. Who's the best shooter? I don't like 19, 19, 19. Steph should have 23. Somebody needs to take KD, Clay. Come on.
Steph Curry's more guardable than Kevin Durant. I'm not saying Steph shouldn't do, you know. Right. But, like, look, who's the best player in Toronto?
Kawhi.
Okay, who's the best player? Like, Philly right now. Who's their number one option late? It's Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, no doubt.
Throw another. Lakers, LeBron. Right. I mean, so every team kind of has.
Clippers. Can't think of one.
I think it's probably Tobias Harris right now.
He's improving.
You know, I mean, so whatever. If it's the Grizzlies, it's Conley, Gasol, Conley. So I think every team's got kind of a pecking order. I don't think the Warriors. I think the Warriors have a luxury of saying, "We'll figure out what we need to do late in the game when we're tied because we have so much talent."
So when you got done with Warrior wrap up. And we're driving home and thought about what you just witnessed in regard to last night's game, Steiny. How shocked are you? Because we watch this team every game. You can't just tell me it's just another game
why not?
Because they just beat them. The Warriors should have had their pitcher in the locker room. That's why this concerns me. They just beat you up north. So now I'm like two times without Kawhi?
I don't know that it works like that, but I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And you know what? I give it to you because the Warriors, they've kind of proven that they know the teams that think they might have the Warriors' number. And they usually avenge losses.
Hey, real quick, can I sound off?
Sure.
Why the hell are they done playing their home and home game? They're not going to play Toronto again. We're not even at the All-Star break.
Okay.
That's bad scheduling. Nobody should be done.
See how hard it is to schedule?
But good Lord,
how hard it is to make an NBA schedule?
Well, I hadn't worked. No, I don't.
Just think about it for a second. It's so hard. Do you know that every team submits to the league dates when they can have home games? So if you're the Lakers, for example, if you're the Clippers. All right, the Lakers, I think, are the primary tenant, but there's also the LA
Kings. All right,
I see
that degree of difficulty.
So the Clippers will send to the NBA before every season, okay, March 11th, what? March 15th, and 19th, you could schedule home games. Because on the 18th, the Lakers are playing, and on the 16th, it's hard. It's hard.
A disappointment, though, the fact we're not going to see them play.
I don't mind it.
Well, I mean, play somebody in your own division. Get rid of that or what have you. But, man, it's a buzzkill.
510 says, also in today's game, Shaq would have expanded his game to beyond the three-point line. Come on. Check the film. He used to push. Yes, he did used to push the ball up the court. He did. He could do that. And he did hit free throws a lot of times when they were counted. I got to tell you, I'm letting Shaq have a three-pointer anytime he wants. Do you want me to read what's in bright red? All right, I hope there's no typos. I hope it makes sense.
It makes sense. I just checked it.
Okay, Bleacher Report alert. Ding, ding, ding. DeMarcus Cousins' rehab progress seems to put him on track to return in
Christmas.
February.
But that goes against everything we've been hearing and how he wanted to play by Christmas.
And that from the San Francisco Chronicle? Was it Bleacher Report or is it the Chronicle?
The report's out of the Chronicle. Bleacher Report also reporting.
Okay. So Bleacher Report.
Took the Chronicles.
This was a serious injury.
Thank you for changing the San Diego Chronicle to the San Francisco Chronicle.
You didn't have to do that, Stoney.
No, I just saw he changed
it. Point, yeah.
So 2 months later than expected, wow. Basically.
I like it.
One more time. Cousins' rehab progress seems to put him on track to return in February. February, that's according to the San Francisco Chronicle.
Be delicate. Take your time, Stoney. Take your time. They need him.
My hunch is he'll be back before that.
You think so?
I mean, I know nothing.
Well, you know this is a serious injury. Yeah.
Make sure the I know nothing.
You do know this is a serious injury. Take your time now. No need to rush back. Trying to win the war, not the battle. Yeah.
Wow, February. That's almost 7 more weeks. I'm taking the under.
I take the over. He's a big fella, man. Take your time.
I don't think he can last that long. I mean, meaning without playing. I think he wants to. He said the other day, didn't he, that if his life depended on it, he could play.
I did hear that.
Yeah, he said he'd like to get his rhythm. He'd like to make a lot of things.
I'd like to hear him speak on this. If that, you know, when somebody, hey, February, we thought you were, you know, just to see where he's at mentally about, yeah, you know.
I wonder if he also is a free agent. He needs to get paid. So if he thinks he can come back sooner, he's going to want to come back soon.
You don't want to gamble with your career, because if you come back too soon and re-injure yourself,
that's true.
It's over.
That's true. I mean, that is true.
It's over.
So
err on the side of caution.
All right. When we come back, David West.
Yeah.
We'll have David West in about 5 minutes, and then we'll have Steve Kerr at 5 o'clock. I'm Matt Steinmetz. I'm with Daryl the Guru Johnson and Gianna Franco, and we're filling in for Damon Bruce. But rest easy, Damon will be back tomorrow, and we will go back to 10 a.m. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson filling in for Damon Bruce. Damon will be back tomorrow, and we are pleased to have our next guest. He's a 2-time NBA champion. His name is David West. You know him very well. David, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
So what have you been up to? Tell me a little bit about this historic basketball league.
Okay. It's the historical basketball league. We planned to create an environment or a landscape to compensate student athletes. Right now, guys who are eligible for collegiate athletics literally have one option, and that is to go into the system that exists. And we feel like in every market and every business, there should be competition. So options. And right now, there are very few options for kids who don't want to go the traditional route. So we intend to create a league, that gives kids another option, educates them a little bit differently, prepares them for the professional game and professional life a little bit differently, and hope to get some good results out of it.
Yeah, I think the interesting part is the league's going to take place in the summer, so it won't conflict with school. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we'll have our games from June to September. Our athletes will then go into a variety of school environments. Some will be 4-year, some will be 2-year. Some will be online, some will be technical, very specific forms of education that fit the athletes and allow them a chance to be students. During this time, they'll have access to training and pro-level training, skill development during these months. They'll scrimmage. We'll take the best of the best or on an international tour in the winter, during winter break, and we do that so that they can have the opportunity to be students, to develop different parts of themselves, to work on the skill development portion of their games, which is probably the most important aspect that guys are missing at that stage in terms of that transition into professional basketball.
Former Warrior David West joining us. He's a 2-time NBA champion. All right, so at the parade last year, you created a mystery, a big mystery that went unsolved for a few months. And then I guess you dropped dime and said what the Warriors had gone through involved a meningitis scare. That can't be it. Come on, there's got to be more to it.
No, so I never actually said that. What I said was that we did have a major health scare, but my point of that comment was, to take away this idea that somehow an NBA season or our journey had been easy. We had been getting hit with that the last month of the season or so. It was just easy. Everything was easy. Was this year easier? And it absolutely wasn't. And, you know, every NBA locker room is different. Every environment is intense. It's tough. You know, and things happen. You know, we were able to just manage it, you know, in a way that allowed us to get through and come out with another championship.
David, speaking of things happening, you know, a lot of people reacted to your two former teammates, Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, about a month ago, you know, having a blow up in Los Angeles. And you had mentioned, being the leader that you are, that if you were a part of the team, that wouldn't have happened. Can you kind of walk us through on how you would have prevented that?
Yeah, I mean, I watched that game, and I just thought the huddle was too loose. You know, you got to be able to, you know, I think you got to be able to cut those things out in about between 3 to 5 seconds. So you let a guy say what he's got to say, and then you got to, you know, you can't allow guys to go on. You can't allow things to fester and build. So, you know, my instinct is always to jump in between, you know, to sort of, you know, get guys back settled. And, you know, that incident, you know, it happened at the wrong time. The huddle wasn't tight enough. And then obviously things spilled over into the locker room.
Well, let me ask you this, David. When you saw that happen, were you surprised?
Yeah, I was.
Really?
I was. I was, because, again, you know, it's a championship, you know, experienced caliber team. Those guys know how to handle themselves. And, you know, again, that type of emotion is always there. You know, just it's up to the group to make sure it doesn't spill over.
David, can you talk to us about Draymond Green? I'm telling my partner here, he is their heart and soul, and I feel like on some nights, you know, he's alone with that, having you gone now. Can you talk to us on what type of player Draymond Green is?
Yeah, well, Draymond's a very unique talent because, you know, he works to make the right play. You know, he believes in his ability to make the right play. Some of the things that he does, you know, aren't necessarily trackable by statistics, but obviously his impact and his instincts on defense, you know, championship caliber instincts, and he's a great player because of that. But he also needs to play on that edge. You know, he's got to play right on that line of aggression and, you know, getting under people's skin, being, you know, physically aggressively attacking the basketball, and then pushing the pace. You know, and putting pressure on teams to stop their pace and his ability to push the pace and transition and find shooters. So he's unique, but again, he needs you know, he needs people around him to make sure that, you know, he maintains his steady and his focus. And you know, he's going to work himself, you know, into form. He knows how to do it. He's a pro. He's one of the best players in the game, and he's a guy who knows how to will his team to win, you know, and get them in winning situations.
Two-time NBA champion David West joining Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson. You know, I'm looking at the big four players, Draymond, Steph, Clay, Durant. They're all different. They fit together on the court incredibly well. But is there a leadership issue there? Because they're all, you know, they're all great guys, but do they have a leader on this team?
Yeah, you know, these guys lead by committee. I mean, it's always been a group effort. There's never been one guy. You know, Steph is still the head honcho in terms of the direction of the group. And the group goes as he goes. And he knows how to manage that group in that locker room. You know, people don't realize, I mean, when he went out, and, you know, obviously when he gets hurt and he's not in the lineup, it changes everything. So, you know, when he's in the lineup and he's in the locker room healthy, he knows how to manage and handle it. Now, he's not somebody that's going to be demonstrative and, you know, be blowing up and fussing people out, but he is going to, you know, make sure he's communicating with everybody, and he's going to get the team, you know, motivated to play and be ready to go. And again, these guys are professionals. They all, you know, have the pedigree. Again, it's always been sort of the group, you know, a group approach. There was no singular leader. I don't think you can have a singular leader, in terms of, you know, a basketball team. You know, you got guys who lead in different ways. And I think they're a unique group in the sense that, or they're not any different, in terms of, you know, how other teams work.
David, as you know, DeMarcus Cousins is out, and nights like last night against the Raptors, some nights the Warriors look small. I know you're retired, David, but people have been clamoring and asking, could David West ever come back if the Warriors called him? Do you get that itch?
No. I watched the game last night. That was rough on the West. You know, Toronto is one of the few teams where they have the size. And then not only do they have the size, but those guys with size have the ability to do a pretty decent job of keeping guys in front. But they also can make you pay on the other end offensively, which is tough. I think that, you know, again, the team's got to figure out, they got to fight a little bit more, be a little bit more scrappy, particularly when they're facing teams like Toronto, you know, and got to figure out ways to get guys open. You know, it's going to be the biggest challenge, you know, right? Everybody has been able to adjust and make adjustments toward the Warriors for the last 3, 4, 5 years. And so, you know, you're going to get teams that are built a certain way that sometimes are going to, you know, be a little difficult for the Warriors to handle. But I think, again, over the long haul, you know, as the year wears on, you know, they start getting their playoff legs. Obviously, health is going to be a big issue, but I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be fine. I think they're going through what everybody expected them to go through. Like, you know, these seasons aren't easy. They've been doing it, you know, for a long time, and you know, they're going to find a way.
So the Warriors, Damian Jones obviously was a starting center. He's gotten hurt. He looks like he's going to miss the entire year. Cousins is coming off an Achilles. Jordan Bell's still pretty young. Looney's doing a nice job, but he's undersized. You're telling me that if Bob Myers gave you a call in February and said, we need your veteran presence and we need your toughness, you're going to tell him to pound sand?
I would tell him I'm completely unprepared.
Are you like are you in good shape right now or no?
I mean, I'm always in relatively good shape, but I'm nowhere near playing the NBA shape at this moment.
Well, you can you can get out of shape that fast, huh?
Oh yeah! Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it's a mindset thing too. You got to be prepared mentally to deal with that level. You know,
right.
David, I don't know if you're a gambler, but if I were to give you $1 million and have you look in your crystal ball and I ask you, you're in your, you know, deep in your gut, do you believe Kevin Durant is back here with the Golden State Warriors next season? How would you answer that?
I would say Kevin Durant is back with the Warriors next season.
Bam!
Yeah.
How come?
I think KD's comfortable here. Obviously, I think it's going to things may change depending on how the year ends up, but I think he likes the area. I think going to San Francisco fits, you know, it's a nice city. You know, this area fits him. You know, he's comfortable here. It's just my opinion. I don't think he's going anywhere.
David, you made it clear at the end of your career when you went to San Antonio and then came here that you wanted to be part of a championship team. If you had maybe won a title or two, let's say in your prime or early in your career, do you think you would have taken a different path, maybe the latter part of your career?
Yeah, I probably would have retired at like, you know, 10 or 12 years in that range.
Really?
Yeah. You know, because that, again, I think when you play basketball, I look at basketball a little bit differently than folks. I think about the entirety of, you know, how long I've literally gone fall, winter, you know, spring, summer, all basketball. And I did that for literally 30 years of my life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you look at it, you say, man, what do you have? You know, the thing that you remember most are the experiences and the journeys to that end. So what I felt was, you know, as I got older, and then I literally got beyond 10 years, you know, my mind started to shift toward, damn, I really don't have anything that I can really, 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 really talk about. And when I say talk about, I mean just having the knowledge and the experience of being around or being in the environment of, you know, achieving something so hard, so tough, you know, watching coaches and watching players prepare, being a part of the task management and things like that. Those are the things that interest me, and those are the things that I felt like, you know, added to me as a person. And so later in my career, that's why I wanted to experience it. Now, had I won earlier, then I probably wouldn't have played as long. You know, just because I would have had that feeling already.
Now, David, you're a champion. You know what it feels like. A lot of the fans think athletes are robots and they're supposed to be ready to go each and every night. How hard is it for these Warriors some nights to get up for games? Because, you know, the average person's like, oh, no, that's not an excuse. But can you share with us how real that is for you know, when you're on top to get ready night in and night out?
Yeah, again, there's nothing easy about professional sports. If you think about the odds, like, it's easier to win the lottery than it is to ever make the NBA. It's even, the odds are even tougher to stay. I don't think people realize 60 guys come in the NBA every single year. 60 guys don't leave, and 60 guys don't stay, meaning those 60 guys who get drafted don't necessarily ever make it in. There are immense challenges in terms of the pressure, but not only the pressure you're dealing with, the target, right? You've got the best players in the world sitting around every single night when they come into play, you saying, if I have my best game against Steph Curry or against Kevin Durant or against Draymond or against Klay, you know, I can make a name for myself, not only on my team, but around the league, you know, and players know that. And so you deal with guys some nights where, and we experienced this a couple of years. I was with these guys where a guy would be struggling for literally a week, 2 weeks. The night he plays against the Warriors, he looks like MJ. And then the next, you look at his game next, the next game, he's back to his usual self. And sometimes that dynamic is frustrating. But again, as professionals, we know it's there. We know how to deal with it. And every year, you're not going to deal with it the same. And so these guys are, you know, this year they're having to figure out how to deal with that drag, right? Having to play and compete against teams who they know they're not going to see in the postseason. I think people are, you know, panicking to a degree, but you look at the standings, they're second in the West. So again, they're well within striking distance, and the guys know how to prepare themselves to gear up for that final hill, which is the playoffs and the championship run.
Everybody says, David, you're one of the toughest players in the NBA. Is there anybody that's played that you played against in your career that you would say you were a little intimidated by?
I was never intimidated by anybody. Now, I've always, you know, been honest with myself about my own level. You know what I'm saying? I never lied to myself about how, you know, best way I can compete. There were certain guys that I knew, okay, roll the ball out there. You know, I'm going to be able to compete with him on the floor and challenge him in the you know, on the stat sheet. But then there are other guys where I say, okay, you're not going to be able to compete with him on the stat sheet, but you're going to have to compete with him in a way that you make more winning plays than him. And so your team is going to end up winning this game, winning this playoff series, whereas you may not statistically be able to compete. So I was always real with myself in that regard. So I was never intimidated by anybody.
David, tell us a little bit about your basketball league.
Well, again, the Historical Basketball League is a professional college league that we intend to create. You know, we want to be the stop gap between you know, high school players coming out of high school who are thinking professional leagues, who are thinking pro careers. And they want to be best developed as pros, and they don't want to play this Rubik's Cube game with this idea of amateurism and, mm-hmm. and student athletes. What we want to do is we want to be very clear. You know, we want to bring you in, compensate you for playing basketball, because there is a market that these guys generate, you know, that's profitable for everyone except them. And so we want to create an environment where they can participate in that. But we also want to create an environment where they're developing toward their pro aspirations. Now, that's on the court with, you know, we're going to play NBA rules. That's what they're being exposed to in terms of life skills development and training, which is going to be geared around, you know, things that we think and that they think, that they decide with our academic advisors. You know, what's the best course of action for their education and their future, as opposed to trying to fit them into you know, educational boxes that they don't fit. And quite frankly, if you look at any of the the latest articles that have been coming out, the data about, you know, the environment at the collegiate level, you know, the kids are being developed. And so we just want to be another option for them. We want them to have an opportunity to have a choice in the market. And we feel like the Historical Basketball League can be that for them.
David, before I let you go, Warriors going to win it again?
Yeah, I'm picking them again.
All right.
I mean, like I said, they're second right now in the West. You know, it's going to be a tougher year. You know, obviously they're going to have to get through it and be healthy. But again, I think when it's all said and done, if they're healthy going into May, I just don't see anybody being able to beat them.
All right. Well, if they're banged up, you need to make a New Year's resolution to get back in shape.
Yeah.
It's, you know, second half of the season's buyout season.
Oh, D-West.
You know the system. You know the area. You're a fan favorite.
I hear you.
You're not going to bite, huh? Hey, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. You're very generous. And you were only here 2 years, but it was easy to tell that you're a class act, and we knew you were going to do something very important at the end of your playing days. So you're certainly doing that. Thank you very much, David. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, David West.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you this. They could use him, right, Stoney?
He better not come back now.
They can use him.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool guy.
Well-spoken, too.
His family is, too. His wife, Leslie, last year, dressed by West, gave away 1,000 prom dresses to young women who couldn't afford to get their own. It was like a whole day of getting these girls ready for their prom and these beautiful, gorgeous dresses, 1,000 of them. So Leslie West, props to her as well. But her and David have done that charity in every city he's played in. So they're a really great family.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know anything about his wife. But obviously, David's very active in social causes, et cetera. So he obviously had it was nice for him to be in the Bay Area, kind of, where more people, I think, appreciate that.
They missed that jumper, too. Oh, 15 to 20 footer.
All right. How about this? Why don't we do this? Caller number three. Oh, no. Here's what we got to do. I need you guys to listen to this, and then just listen to it first, and then I'll explain.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right. The next time you hear that, you need to be caller number two. And if you are you supposed to be saying this, Jenna?
No, that's all about you. Caller number two.
Caller
again.
Number two, when you hear that the next time, not this time.
No.
This one doesn't count. This was an exhibition game. The next time you hear it, be caller number two, and Gianna will pull a prize out of our bucket prize for you to win. And we've had some, what have we had? We had football tickets. We've had
spa.
Kiss.
Spa day, kiss
spa
tickets.
Day,
the apparently final game at the Oakland Coliseum for the Raiders.
Right.
We gave those away. And then you'll qualify to win VIP tickets to Warriors Lakers on Christmas Day.
Right.
So not
wow.
only are you getting
that's
this right. prize, you qualify for the grand prize. So, you know,
gotcha.
It's all good.
Yeah,
all
it is.
Of it.
Really is. Let's go to Al in Sacramento. What's up, Al? How you doing, man?
How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to let you guys know, I'm actually from Toronto, Canada. I'm practicing law here in Sacramento and on my way back from court in Alameda. Had 2 points to make. Watched the game last night. Point one is, given that the Warriors have been playing into June for the past 5 years, for the past 2 years with KD, they really, really need to have a better bench. I mean, there's no doubt that their Fab Four is better than anyone in the league. But this team needs to have a little bit more of an edge, and they really got to pick someone up before the trade deadline. The second point I wanted to make was about Kyle Lowry. This guy is, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the most underrated players. And losing DeMar DeRozan, I think, made him a lot more ruthless. He's a lot more about business. He's a lot more about execution. He's a lot more about getting things done. And I think he's right now the leader of this club. You could really tell how guys admire him, take his leadership. And I know he had a couple of games where he was going through a slump, but he's really showing his edge right now. And thanks for taking my call.
Hey, did you say you were from Toronto or somewhere else in Canada?
I'm from Toronto, Canada. Yeah, I'm from Toronto, Canada. Okay. Just my wife is American, so I just started practicing law here about 4 years now.
Gotcha. Toronto, great city. Mm-hmm. Great city. Thank you so much for joining us, Al. He knew his Raptors.
Yeah. And Lowry, I think he is playing better without old Ball Hog and DeRozan.
Ho, ho, ho!
All right, now. Well, no, just call.
Caller number two.
Have I gotten that right one time this week?
It's okay. It makes for good radio.
That's why I could never do this time slot all the time, because there's so much going on. And I'm just too simple. I got you, Stanny. I can't.
It's all good.
Figure it out.
I got something that might put you in a good mood, Stanny.
Okay.
Mindy said her brother told her we gave her a shout out, and she says hello. Mindy from last night.
So what that tells me is Mindy wasn't listening. She didn't listen.
Maybe not at that moment.
So she needs to listen to all four.
I was going to brighten you up, not get you mad.
Anybody can turn the radio on for 7 minutes.
Probably working.
Please.
Well, you can listen to it at work, right? Hopefully you got the app or radio.com.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
The other thing is maybe Mindy, she might have taken off work today, you know?
A little PTO.
Late night at the arena.
Yeah.
You know? Who knows? Maybe she's.
Well, hi, Mindy. Thanks for listening.
and now we talk to Gabe right now, right? Gabe in San Leandro. Say hello to Gianna Franco.
Is Gabe our winner?
Hey.
Congratulations, Gabe. You are our winner. You just won a pair of tickets to see. Finally, good. I'm glad you've been calling in. You won a pair of tickets to see Kiss on their End of the Road World Tour at Oracle Arena in Oakland, Monday, September 16th. That is next year, 2019. Get your tickets at LiveNation.com, unless you're gay, because you've got a pair. And guess what? You are now a qualifier for our VIP Warriors Lakers on Christmas Day. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. I love you guys. Love the show. Thank you, Gianna. You're the best. You're my favorite. I follow you on all the social media, and you're just the best, Mom. You're the best.
Thank you so much.
Wow. 5-7 the game.
Thanks, Gabe.
Wow. Thanks, Gabe. Happy holidays.
Wait on hold, Gabe, so we can get your info. I'll tell you what, he was so complimentary that I think some, if you're a listener out there, you might think the fix was in.
No, not at all.
Hey, look, we'll give you 2 Kiss tickets. Just flatter us. That's not the way it works.
No, it's not the way it works.
Not at all. David West. I like him.
How can you not?
Well, if you're opposing power forward,
I like him
on the
court.
Crap out of.
They miss him. He said he was hot watching that game last night.
Don't forget, though, he was, remember last year in the Western Conference Finals, he was exposed a little bit. Remember, because he had to try to get to the corners.
Yeah, he was in the twilight.
He was. He was in the twilight. One more time, Bleacher Report and the San Francisco Chronicle are saying DeMarcus Cousins' rehab progress seems to be putting him on track to return in February. Apparently, our very own Greg Papa was talking about this as a return date. And if you want to find out more about what Greg Papa said, go to 95.7 The Game. There's a nice piece of audio you can listen there. But Papa saying this morning that, I'm sorry, this afternoon, that he thinks we as the fans and the media are a little further ahead in DeMarcus Cousins' rehab than he actually is.
Yeah, antsy. We want him back. The people want him back. Kerr wants him back. We want to see the Warriors. We don't want to be waiting on anybody. We want to see what they manifest into. And there's a lot of unanswered questions. Donnie, who's going to be the 5 to finish certain games? I can't wait. But February, man.
707 says, stop it. You guys are both married men.
Okay. What about?
Well, I'm not.
What does that mean?
I'm not married. I mean, I'm not.
Technically.
No. No rings.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I don't, you know.
Single, ready to mingle?
Nobody needs it.
I got you.
925 says, I work in construction and listen to you guys on the radio.com app through my headphones. That's dedication. It is 925. And in fact, what I'm going to do, I forgot. I got that present in Danny's office.
Yeah,
remember?
I thought you were going to wait for tomorrow, but
you have a
we
gift?
Can do it now.
Yeah. I'll do it after the break.
Okay.
I'm going to pay homage.
You got to film it, too. Maybe Gianna can help you.
You know what? We got five before five coming up right now. We'll make it number five.
Okay. That's
perfect.
Cool. All right. Five before five coming up. Steve Kerr at five. We got a lot going on.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
Steinmetz and Guru filling in for Damon Bruce. David will be back tomorrow at the normal time, 3 o'clock. And Daryl, the Guru Johnson, and myself, we'll go back to 10 to 12, and we've really appreciated sitting in here. Had a great time with Gianna. It's nice to have a, I don't want to say third wheel.
Because a woman's perspective.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we didn't crash the Ferrari, did we? Or as
not
the kids
yet.
Say, Gianna,
no,
the Rari. Did we crash the Rari?
No. It's one of those Mini Coopers. Isn't that what Damon drives?
We're driving the minivan. Let's be real.
No,
I'm kidding.
Doesn't
you're
Damon
right.
Drive
yeah,
a Mini
he does.
Cooper?
He used to. He's graduated to an SUV.
Uh-oh.
Of course he has.
Yeah.
He's
yeah. Yeah.
Big balling yeah. Damon.
Gotcha. Should we do it?
Let's do it. Here we go.
Right.
First story here. This comes out of USA Today, and I thought this caught my attention because the headline, why the Toronto Raptors are the NBA's best team right now. So the Raptors, they've been called a lot of things this season. The NBA's deepest team, it's most flexible, it's most well-organized. But of course, after this powerful win over the Dubs last night, are the Raptors simply the best team in basketball? That is a question that is circling in multiple media reports. Are you guys agreeing with this or disagreeing? Are you seeing this type of change?
I'm going recency bias, and the fact that you beat the Golden State Warriors twice, once without your best player, right now the Toronto Raptors are the best team in the NBA. And I'm going eye test, Steiny. I'm sorry. That was that impressive last night. Watch it again when I get home.
No chance. They're not the best team. Come on. They're not even going to come out of the East when it's all said and done.
She didn't ask that.
The Boston Celtics are the Boston Celtics are the best team in the East.
They're currently the fifth seed in the East.
Yeah, how many have they won in a row? Thank you. It was a 6 or 7.
Seven.
Okay.
So they've really been stinking it up.
So, in other words, they're the hottest team in the league right now.
So there's nothing to the fact that the Raptors shut down the Warriors
twice
this season. I mean, they got to be walking into, the rest of the season with a little
without
more confidence.
Kawhi Leonard, Gianna.
Without Kawhi. I mean, is it time that we're seeing a little bit of a change? I mean, the NBA is catching up. We knew this was going to happen at some point, maybe a little sooner than we thought.
No, there's no, what's our big fella, Cousins or Iggy. So I'm going to relax. But right, what I saw last night, Steiny, they're athletic, tall, small, can ball.
That's nice.
Back in the day.
Well, we'll give the Warriors this. When things don't go their way, they come back with a vengeance, and it's two seasons. It's the regular season and then the playoffs.
Number two.
All right. This was interesting. On this morning's First Take on ESPN, Stephen A. Smith broke down tonight's Charger-Chiefs throwdown. That's right, an AFC West matchup happening tonight. Here's what he had to say. Listen to this.
But I have some faith in Spencer Ware and thinking that, he can do some things. I'm keeping my eyes on this matchup right here.
Spencer Ware is out.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry,
out
Max.
With
I'm
the
sorry.
Foot. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely, he is out. But I'm thinking Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson.
I don't think Steven's watching a lot of football these days. So, obviously, Spencer Ware out with a foot injury. Hunter Henry, tied in for the Chargers, torn ACL in May. He has not played at all, and there's still no word as to when he will return. By the way, Derek Johnson, who he also referenced, former linebacker from the Chiefs, stopped playing for the Chiefs last season. I believe he went to the Raiders this season and was released in October, so... I'm just going to say Steven's got to watch a little more football to get everything
Steiny,
straight.
Steiny, from a guy that makes mistakes, and I know Stephen A's a perfectionist, that is as bad as it gets.
I mean, once in a while it happens.
It was the trifecta of
three
wrong.
Three times.
Hunter Henry? Wow. Wow. Hey, this is taking a life of its own on social media, too.
It has.
As you just reported it. Steiner, he can never come back from this.
Oh, what are you, crazy? Saying,
it's like the back. Football takes are all fake.
Right. All right, listen.
Wow.
Listen. I'm looking at my man. I can't stand people that pile on. Stephen A. Smith, somebody called it. This is exactly okay. What happens when you don't know football. Hunter Henry hasn't played all year. Here's Stephen A. Smith's response. My brother, it's called a mistake because I was thinking of Virgil Green, but I mentioned Hunter because I was multitasking. That's what happens when you're doing 1,000 things. But I don't blame you. I don't blame you if you told me to stay off the weed. That was a brain lock moment. It's just brain lock.
Three
it happens
times?
To everybody.
He said, Spencer Ware was thinking Tyreek Hill, so this is like multiple
wow.
times in one paragraph.
He said it with conviction.
I can see it.
That was bad for old Steven.
Nah,
he get paid a lot.
He's fine.
No, he ain't. This is bothering him. I'm telling you. I don't know him, but I feel like I do. This hurt him.
All right.
Well, you should see the faces of Teddy Bruschi
right.
and Max Kellerman. Oh, they're
and
just
I can hear Stein,
like the
he's out. Minutes. You're wrong. He's out.
It was
it
funny.
It started bad.
You know, we're only human. We all do make mistakes. I hope I don't make
Stein,
one that bad, though.
Man.
All right, moving on to our next story.
Number three.
Marshawn Lynch's new restaurant is set to open tomorrow. I'm going to give you a little snippet from an earlier news story about it from NBC Bay Area.
Okay, come for the food and come for the atmosphere, but leave your phone at home. Raider star Marshawn Lynch is opening a unique restaurant. This Friday, Beast Mode is opening a restaurant in Emeryville. It's called Rob Ben's. It's named after his friend Robert Benjamin, who was shot and killed in Oakland in 2007. The restaurant will feature soul food. Sounds pretty delicious. And Lynch has a friendly warning to anyone who visits.
Sam, you ain't gonna touch your food. You don't mind, right? Oh, baby, you got oxtails? You don't know what the hell you missing.
He's gonna take the food right off your plate, essentially. Lynch posted this fun and lighthearted video on Instagram encouraging people to stay off their cell phones while eating there. In fact, there are signs that say no phone zone, and there are placed throughout the restaurant.
So it opens up tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's located on San Pablo Avenue. And again, it will be selling soul food, oxtails, fried catfish, and more to the masses.
Now,
go ahead.
It's the old Sen's, right?
Yes, it is. Exactly.
And Sen's, if I'm not mistaken, was a soul food restaurant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's tiny.
So how do we know that the food's any different?
We got to go taste it. Little mac and cheese, greens, yams.
There's a lot of soul
food.
I'm
going to shock you. I'm not a big soul food guy.
Well, you know that I haven't had a lot of the stuff that's considered soul food.
Chitlins?
Never. We did this before. Collard greens? No. What else?
Apparently, Senzo had a cult following.
Oh,
like
cornbread.
It's supposed to be really good.
I like cornbread.
Not Jiffy, the real cornbread.
Jiffy's
the kind. Yeah, Jiffy cornbread comes in the box.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm talking about some real... From scratch cornbread.
Okay.
I don't know if it was from scratch. I like
You got to come through the house one time.
I like corn.
Come through the house, son. Meet the kids. Yeah.
It sounds good. It sounds like it's worth trying. And maybe, you know, since he got a couple tips from the former owner, since she did have a cult following for her fried chicken and catfish, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm down to try it. What do you think about the fact he doesn't want to let people, he like will literally take away your phone
like
if
that.
You're sitting
no,
down
won't.
For dinner.
Talk and eat.
No, he won't.
You know that,
I just
tiny.
Know. I know he wouldn't do that. Not to me.
Right.
I tell Marshawn, I'm having oxtails and I'm going to have a phone on my left ear. Problem? No.
You're taking your food to go.
Number four.
All right. Speaking of food, what's lurking in your stadium food? This article was from ESPN. Most Cracker Jack boxes come with a surprise inside, but apparently at some stadiums and baseball parks at Coors Field, for example, there's other things. A health department inspector found a mouse in a commercial-sized bag of Cracker Jacks that happened at Coors Field in September of 2016. It gets worse. Live cockroaches in a trap, amounts of mouse droppings on a kitchen floor, inside bins of rice, bags of cookies, dead mice were found. Another live one had been found. Apparently, recently there was a story about mice at the Coliseum. However, this study has been going on for years, and they rated the stadiums with the worst and best grade. So I thought this was very cool. The stadium or arena with the best grade, with the lowest amount of health violations, is right here in the Bay Area. Can you guess?
Oracle.
Yeah, exactly. Good job, Guru. Oracle, out of all the stadiums and arenas across the country, has the lowest violations for health. They are number one with only 1.1%. That's pretty cool.
Wow. Wow.
I'm shocked.
Good for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Good for the Warriors.
They'll probably take that over to Chase as well. So you feel safe if you're eating, you know, food at Oracle. Apparently, everything's very done very well. AT&T, number 37. Levi's ranking number 88. The Coliseum, number 35. So above AT&T and Levi's. So interesting. Just be careful what's in your food. The whole article is kind of fascinating because there are some stuff you just do not want to think about.
Gotcha. Number five.
And now that I'm done grossing all of you out right before dinner. Okay, so Steiny walks in here with a present. I see a hard hat.
Oh, yeah.
A construction vest. What's all this? What's going on here?
This is incredible.
About a week ago, we were talking about construction hard hats. And
you basically said you don't need them. They're overrated.
I said they were overrated. And I kind of said, when's the last time a hard hat on a construction site came in handy? Well, let me tell you something, and they knew this before, but they really know it now. I'm a monster construction guy. Love construction workers. I love pouring cement. Watching people pour cement. I'm a big foundation guy. I've always said foundations are the most important part of buildings, and so a lot of people called and said, started telling us stories about when they needed the hat, and so I want to thank Danny Nielsen,
wow,
of the Murray Company. He brought over a construction packet of an
art. It's a real construction packet.
It's a real thing. It's a.
We'll put it on.
An orange vest, gloves, like a hard helmet, and safety goggles.
Wow.
Yeah, that is
so
very
thank
cool.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah. Nice. I may just wear this out tonight.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I won't. You have to wear these if you're hunting deer, right, Guru?
Yeah, that's what we have.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
They might think you work for Caltrans. We need a picture of this.
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
You got to put the hat on as
you
well.
You guys got to talk for a minute, and then I'll do the legal ID.
Gianna, he's truly excited.
He is very excited. And, you know, I will say this. I got to tour Chase a couple months ago with Rick Welts, similar to what Kevin Durant just got to do. And you have to wear hard hats to do that, as well as boots. And they provide those for you when you take the tour. So, you know, construction stuff, a lot of
Steiny got a lot of heat.
Happen.
He got a lot of heat
more
from
power
that
to those guys, yeah.
Look at him.
Hey, the zipper doesn't go all the way to the top, though. I can't put the hat on with the...
You're not complaining.
It has your name on it.
I know it does.
Look at that. Here, look over here, Steiny. I gotta take a photo.
You could tell you'd never... You can last in that line of work.
You got paparazzi in here.
It doesn't even fit. Look at...
20 seconds before we get Steve Kerr.
Very cool.
Oh, you took it, Whitley? Come on, Whitley, hurry. Hurry.
No pressure, Whitley.
Wow,
no pressure.
The Murray Company.
Well, that's very nice.
You know what,
thanks to the Murray Company.
I see a line open. We got it. All right. I got to get this on. Yeah, we got Steve
No,
Kerr.
Please wear that for the whole show.
Yeah.
No, we can't.